You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Where you're listening to the Space Show with Andrew, and on Mission Control this evening we have Richard. Luna Trailblazer was a spacecraft that was launched along with the Athena lunar lander on the same Falcon 9 rocket, and its objective was to go out to the moon and go into orbit around the moon and do lots of wonderful things. Well, we'll tell you the sad story of Luna Trailblazer, but first, let's go back a few years. The Space Show has been following the progress of Luna Trailblazer since at least 2021. And in 2021 November, Bethany Ellman, the principal investigator for Luna Trailblazer, she works at Caltech, she gave this briefing.
I've had the privilege of getting involved in landing site selection for Curiosity and Perseverance in Mars, and it's really such a force multiplier on science when you can get to the right spot to deploy your instruments on the targets that you know exist from orbit. So with that, I'm pleased to talk about what we will do with the Lunar Trailblazer mission, including efforts now that we've opened our targeting up to the community. Just for those of you who might be unfamiliar, I'm going to give an overview of Lunar Trailblazer itself. We are a NASA Class D simplex mission. Our goal is to understand the form, abundance, and distribution of water on the moon and the lunar water cycle. We are 11 months away from delivering our flight system, delivering in October of 2022. And we are currently manifested to launch in 2025, although NASA has been contemplating earlier options since our confirmation review and also in light of the September 2021 league finding endorsing this consideration because of the benefits that it would bring to targeting landed missions to have the additional orbital data. The spacecraft here, we're in a 100 kilometer plus or minus 30 kilometer polar orbit for over a year. Currently, current best estimate is that we'll be in that orbit for at least 16 months, possibly quite a bit longer. And we're measuring visible shortwave infrared reflected light with HVM cubed, the high resolution volatiles and minerals moon mapper, and emitted light from lunar thermal mapper from the University of Oxford, where a rideshare launch. I want to just remind people of the nature of our data products. We are push brooming across the moon in our polar orbit, meaning we have access to any target on the surface approximately once per month is the repeat cycle for our targets, and the time of day is changing underneath. The nature of the targets is that they are absolutely co-nested, and in fact, we will be delivering data to the planetary data system with the visible shortwave infrared reflectance data co-registered to the thermal infrared data. That leads to for every single pixel, which depending on the height in our orbit varies from about 50 to 90 meters per pixel, for every single pixel, we get temperature from the lunar thermal mapper. Also from the lunar thermal mapper, we get spectra that go to the silicate composition of the surface. And then we also acquire spectra with HVM cubed that allow us to tell the form, distribution, and abundance of water. So simultaneous water, crustal composition, and temperature, and we will be acquiring these cubes in certain locations at multiple times of day. One of the things we've done as a team is we hosted a community targeting workshop because we are opening our target selection up to the community. As a small satellite through the Science Mission Directorate, we have focused goals. We don't have the budget for huge goals, so we are getting, as a team, 1,000 targets that we've prioritized for our science related to the water cycle and water ice. But Lunar Trailblazer brings some of the most sophisticated instruments to orbit to date for mapping soil and rock composition, space weathering, landing site reconnaissance, again at this sub 100 meter per pixel scale composition in water, and water quantification for ISRU. So some of you might be familiar with the High Wish site for high rise on Mars. Similarly, high rise doesn't get global coverage. It gets super high resolution in a few places. We get 11 channels compared to Diviner. So we expect that this will allow greater differentiation of, for example, the silicic features. Are they quartz rich? Are they feldspathic rich? And also the more mafic to ultramafic olivine rich. What are they? The nature of our interface is very simple. If you can download Google Earth and switch it to Google Moon, and you can enter things into a web form, you are set up to go targeting. We We're a Class D mission. We don't have, the ability to design our own targeting software. So we've adapted tools to be able to ingest targets both from our team, and then we've adapted the interface for the community. Some of the sites of interest to Artemis have also been input by community members. Why? Because really, where you are on the surface matters, right? You have the precious resource of the rover, of humans operating vehicles or walking on the surface. You want to be able to direct people, go left, go right, at a scale of tens of meters, right? Not several kilometers. So the high-resolution image data on water composition and temperature for Lunar Trailblazer is really awesome for directing these missions to the best sites to accomplish their science. Trailblazer was proposed originally by myself and my co-eyes to really further our nation's efforts at the moon and lunar science and exploration. So we're eager to support CLIPS, other future lunar landed exploration for ISRU, tech demonstrations for human missions. And I will leave it with that. Thank you.
That was Bethany Elman, the principal investigator for the Lunar Trailblazer. She's from Caltech. Well, that was in 2021. I shouldn't laugh. She will now be a very, very unhappy lady. So in the next 5 minutes, we're going to tell the sad, sad story of the Lunar Trailblazer. First of all, a pre-launch mission plan for the trajectory.
Before it can use these instruments to collect science data, Lunar Trailblazer will for several months perform a series of moon flybys, thruster bursts, and looping orbits. These highly choreographed maneuvers will eventually position the spacecraft so it can map the surface in great detail. Lunar Trailblazer is about the size of a dishwasher and has a relatively small engine. To make its 4 to 7 month trip to the moon, depending on the launch date, as efficient as possible, the mission's design and navigation team has planned a trajectory that will use the gravity of the sun, Earth, and moon to guide the spacecraft. A technique called low energy transfer. The initial boost provided by the rocket will send the spacecraft past the moon and into deep space, and its trajectory will then be naturally reshaped by gravity after several lunar flybys and loops around Earth. This will allow it to be captured into lunar orbit with minimal propulsion needs, said Gregory Lantowin, Lunar Trailblazer's mission design and navigation lead at JPL. It's the most fuel-efficient way to get to where we need to go. As it flies past the moon several times, the spacecraft will use small thruster bursts, aka trajectory correction maneuvers, to slowly change its orbit from highly elliptical to circular, bringing the satellite down to an altitude of about 100 kilometers above the moon's surface. Once in its science orbit, Lunar Trailblazer will glide over the moon's surface, making 12 orbits a day and observing the surface at a variety of different times of day over the course of the mission. The satellite will also be perfectly placed to peer into the permanently shadowed craters at the moon's south pole, which harbor cold traps that never see direct sunlight. If Lunar Trailblazer finds significant quantities of ice at the base of the craters, those locations could be pinpointed as a resource for future lunar explorers. The data the mission collects will be transmitted to NASA's Deep Space Network and delivered to Lunar Trailblazer's new operations center at Caltech's IPAC in Pasadena, California. Working alongside the mission's experienced team will be students from Caltech and nearby Pasadena City College who are involved in all aspects of the mission, from operations and communications to developing software.
The day after the launch, February the 26th, there were two progress reports. Here's the initial post-launch report.
The second stage of the SpaceX Falcon 9 completed its Earth departure burn, and NASA's Lunar Trailblazer spacecraft has separated from it and is flying independently. The spacecraft is now expected to carry out a series of automated processes, including powering itself up, deploying its solar arrays, and orienting them toward the sun. Starting about 30 minutes after separation, the mission's operations team will work to receive an initial signal from the spacecraft. Once initial contact has been made, it will be several more hours until two-way communications can be established and detailed telemetry checks are carried out. Managed by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and led by Caltech in Pasadena, California, the small satellite will arrive at the moon in about 4 months to generate the highest ever resolution maps of the moon's surface water to determine the water's location, form, abundance, and how it changes over time. These maps will also provide clues to other questions, like how and when Earth got its water, and support future lunar robotic and human exploration and commercial interests.
A little later in the day, things were looking quite good.
Mission operators at Caltech's EPAC in Pasadena, California, have received an initial signal from Lunar Trailblazer. This indicates that the small spacecraft has powered up. As planned, the signal was acquired by Deep Space Station 36, one of the radio frequency antennas at the Deep Space Network Canberra Complex in Australia. The operations team will now wait several hours until the spacecraft is farther away from Earth, and the power levels from the Deep Space Network's dish are appropriate for the spacecraft's radio before attempting to establish two-way communications with Lunar Trailblazer. When two-way communications are established, the health of the spacecraft can be confirmed, and commanding can begin. Of mass only 200 kilograms and measuring 3.5 meters wide when its solar panels are fully deployed, Lunar Trailblazer will orbit the moon about 100 kilometers above the surface.
The next day, February the 27th, things were not looking good.
Following the successful deployment of NASA's Lunar Trailblazer from a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket on February 26th, mission operators at Caltech's IPAC in Pasadena, California, established communications with the small satellite at 5:13 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as expected. The team subsequently received engineering data, or telemetry, indicating intermittent power system issues. They lost communication with the spacecraft Thursday morning at about 4:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Several hours later, the spacecraft turned on its transmitter, and the team now is working with NASA ground stations to re-establish telemetry and commanding to better assess the power system issues and develop potential solutions.
And the latest report came on March the 4th.
The mission operations team for Lunar Trailblazer at Caltech's EPAC is continuing efforts to re-establish communications with the small satellite. Based on telemetry before the loss of signal last week and ground-based radar data collected March 2nd, the team believes the spacecraft is spinning slowly in a low-power state. They will continue to monitor for signals should the spacecraft orientation change to where the solar panels receive more sunlight, increasing their output to support higher power operations and communication. The team has been receiving constant coverage from NASA's Deep Space Network and working with ground-based observatories to better understand Lunar Trailblazer's orientation. The spacecraft issues have precluded the execution of post-launch trajectory correction maneuvers. These small thruster operations would have adjusted the spacecraft's flight path and, together with future trajectory correction maneuvers, put it into its planned science orbit around the Moon. The team is now working to define alternative trajectory correction maneuver strategies that could be used after reacquiring communications and establishing normal spacecraft functionality. These alternative trajectory correction maneuver strategies may be able to place Lunar Trailblazer in lunar orbit and allow it to complete some of its science objectives. Nikki Fox, Associate Administrator of the Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington, said, "The Lunar Trailblazer team has been working around the clock to re-establish communications with the spacecraft. NASA sends up high-risk, high-reward missions like Lunar Trailblazer to do incredible science at a lower cost, and the team truly encapsulates the NASA innovative spirit. If anyone can bring Lunar Trailblazer back, it is them."
And unfortunately, that's the latest report we've had, and we must consider that Lunar Trailblazer is lost irretrievably. I hope it's not true, but it looks like that's the case. This is The Space Show.